Today on Real Life Radio.
When you get a glimpse of Jesus Christ, as we'll see him soon in glory, it won't matter what people, listen church, it won't matter what people will say about you, it won't matter what people do to you, it doesn't matter what kind of slander they might create or some kind of a story they might tell. When Jesus Christ is enthroned in your heart, you'll be able to manage and go through the things of this life because you know where your strength is, that Christ is enthroned.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, Who is Jesus Christ Today? No longer the humble Galilean who preached along its shores, Jesus is now the Son of God empowered, sitting on his throne and worshiped above all. And when we come to the realization that Jesus Christ is on the throne in our lives, we'll never be the same again. You see, we need to take the book of Revelation and make it personal. In those long and lonely days and months that John was exiled on the island of Patmos, he was deeply aware in his own heart what God was revealing to him. The revelation of Jesus Christ was shown to John by God in the spirit realm, and he too would never be the same again. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack asks, who is Jesus Christ today? Jesus is many things, and most assuredly, he's always with us. He walks with us in the light. He is the light, casting out the darkness and cleansing us from all of our sin. And now in his message called, Who is Jesus Christ Today? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Revelation chapter 1, beginning now at verse 12, where we left off last time. Verse 12, John says, Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write these things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in your right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are seven churches. Let's pray. Father, as we look to this holy and awesome, no doubt about it, awesome portion of Scripture, we ask you, Father, that you would open up our eyes to behold, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that which John wanted us to know, that which Jesus wants us to know. And Lord, that without your Holy Spirit, we could never know. So, Father, we pray now that you'd enlighten our hearts and our minds. And Father, give us an appetite this morning to know your word. Perhaps, Lord, even this morning for some that have just come in here, perhaps maybe not knowing you or whatever the case might be this morning, Father, as we look to the revelation of Jesus Christ, that we would truly experience that, the unveiling, the apocalypse, the knowing of who Jesus is. So, Lord, we ask now that you'd bless this study in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 20, as it concludes the chapter, we're asking this question in these closing verses, who is Jesus Christ today? Now, you got to remember, as we look to this book and as we look to this section, some 50 years plus had transpired since John the Apostle had seen Jesus Christ face to face. John knew Jesus face to face, and John experienced him in a very tender way. It was John that the Bible says, when Jesus and the boys gathered together, that John rested his head upon the chest of Jesus Christ. If you can imagine that. John was the one that the Bible says that John spoke of himself saying, the disciple whom Jesus loved. John perhaps knew Jesus in a very intimate and wonderful way. But now John sees Jesus in an incredible different light. He sees Jesus Christ revealed in all of his glory and all of his grandeur. The last time we saw John in our study together, we left him in that place of being in the Spirit. It says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day or on the day of the Lord. And that's a great place to find somebody or to leave somebody in the Spirit. But we understand that John was being transported, so to speak, into the spirit realm. And he saw Jesus Christ, no longer the humble Galilean preaching on the shores of the sea. But now Jesus Christ is the enthroned Son of God in all of his glory. So this actually, as we saw, when John translates into this realm of the Spirit, it is one of many visits that John will experience in this spiritual journey. For when he says, I was in the Spirit, he's announcing that he was taken to a place of the time or eternity where all is now before God, and he sees the events that are transfolding or translating into the earthly realm. So John, so to speak, is spiritized, or he's translated by way, we would say, in a time capsule, so to speak. He sees things that have, to this time, never been seen except through visions by God given to his prophets. John says he's in the Spirit here in chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, he says, immediately I was, or the word is, I became in the Spirit and beheld a throne set in heaven, and one sat upon it. In Revelation 17, 3, John says there that he was carried away, or becoming spirit again, to a great and high mountain. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, John says. So John was spiritized. So all these things that he's seeing now and relating to us, and this is an amazing moment for us, because John, as we saw last time, he heard the trumpet speaking, or the sound of a trumpet, I should say. He turns to see one speaking to him. It wasn't a talking trumpet. The voice speaking, none other than Jesus Christ, sounded like a trumpet, a clarion, an announcement. Throughout Old and New Testament alike, whenever you read about trumpets, they're primarily, not exclusively, but primarily used for two main things. And that is for calling God's people to war and calling God's people to fellowship or to worship God's people. God speaks, assembles his people by the blast of a trumpet. Does that give you a little bit of a hint of what could happen even today? The Bible says that the Lord will descend from heaven on some moment and on some day, it could be today, where there's no warning, there's no prophetic prerequisite, that the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, will descend out of heaven. He'll appear in the atmosphere, not to earth, and there will be a sound of a what? A trumpet blast. And the Bible says that those who have died in Christ will be resurrected. And the Bible says, we who are alive and remain at that moment shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and we will be gathered together. The trumpet blast to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord, the sound of the trumpet. So John is hearing the sound of a trumpet, but it's none other than the voice and the calling of Jesus Christ. And by the way, when you see what John is going to reveal to us, the realization of Jesus Christ and all of his glory, it is my opinion that we will never see Christ the same. The closing chapter of this tremendous verse, or of these first opening verses of this great chapter, grabs our heart. In Hebrews 13:6, the Bible tells us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hebrews tells us, when you get a glimpse of Jesus Christ, as we'll see him soon in glory, it won't matter what people, listen church, it won't matter what people will say about you, it won't matter what people do to you, it doesn't matter what kind of slander they might create or some kind of a story they might tell. When Jesus Christ is enthroned in your heart, you'll be able to manage and go through the things of this life because you know where your strength is, that Christ is enthroned. John is telling us that though he's exiled to Patmos on that deserted island, and that Rome and the Roman government is coming against Christianity, that Jesus Christ is enthroned. Can you imagine what kind of a puny throne the emperor must have had when you got a glimpse of Jesus' throne? When the emperor of Rome sat upon his throne, everybody bowed and said, Caesar is Lord. You can't do that when you see Jesus enthroned in heaven. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you guys with me? Can you hear okay? Man, you're quiet. Okay, that's good, I guess. Wake up if it's not, you know, I don't know. But in those long and lonely days, or months of exile on the island of Patmos, John was given the greatest revelation given to man. And so he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Okay, here we go. Who is Jesus Christ today? We're going to look at four key points. Number one is this. In verses 12 to 13, who is Jesus Christ today is the question. He is the Jesus who's with us. He's the Jesus who is always with us. Jot that down. Number one point, Jesus Christ today is the Jesus who is always with us, says the Bible. Jesus said before he ascended back up into heaven, "Behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John's gospel, "I must ascend and go back to heaven, but I will not leave you orphaned. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. I will be with you." And so we know this morning that Jesus Christ is always with his church, always with his believer. So he's the Jesus who's with us. How so? A couple of ways. Number one, in verse 12, we learn that he's always with us in the light. Will you mark that down, in the light? It says in verse 12, "Then I turned," John says, "to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands." So having turned, I saw, as he turns, he doesn't see a trumpet speaking. He doesn't see anything else. He sees what he makes known to us now, the voice of one speaking. And it's a very, very interesting thing, because it is the one who speaks is the one that he saw in the midst of these seven golden lampstands. The first thing that we want to look at is regarding light. The seven lampstands, church, no doubt are examples of light. I'm going to give you two understandings or two interpretations of what the seven lampstands are all about. There are some scholars who say that as Jesus is standing, and I have to kind of move my hands to do this, as Jesus is standing, there are seven individual lampstands surrounding him, like a candlestick. You know, you can buy them out of silver or plastic or metal or wood, you know? That there are seven of them and that he's in the middle. And you may look at some books that have tried to get you to understand this, and Jesus is there standing in the middle, and around him are seven individual lampstands. And there's a good argument to say that that is, in fact, the case. But I just want you to know that in the Old Testament, both in the tabernacle and in the temple in Jerusalem, there is a menorah. It is a single, or it has a single root to it rising upward. On top of that single upward light burns a flame, and on either side are three branches, seven in total. And you know that that was in the temple, it was in the tabernacle of meeting in the wilderness, and we know from the book of Hebrews, by the way, that that same menorah, that seven lampstand menorah, is also forever illuminated in heaven. In fact, the ones that were made on earth was an exact detail of that which is in heaven forever. So you may leave this foyer this morning. If you haven't seen it, go look at it. In fact, there's only about five of those in the world, just like that one. Four of them. Very rare. As you walk out of the main foyer area, you look at a seven lampstand menorah. That's about 51 pounds of bronze. It's from Israel. It's an exact replica. Actually, it's a prototype of the one that you see at the Knesset today in Israel that stands some 15 feet high and 12 feet wide. Made by the same man. You go look at that thing, and there are seven lampstands. And you can either view this as Jesus standing in the middle, and there are seven individual lampstands around them representing the seven churches, or it's understood that it's the seven lampstand menorah where Christ is the root, so to speak, and then out of that root come seven burning lamps, speaking about the completeness of God, in this case for the church, regarding the completion of or completeness of the churches, and Jesus Christ walks through the midst of them, so to speak, coming at the end of the one on the outside and coming back through, weaving himself back through, spiritually speaking, I am. You understand what I'm saying? And then going back forth through there again. So when you see that menorah, understand that is both a symbol of God's dwelling, for the Bible tells us that he dwells in this glorious light. The menorah was a symbol of light, or these lampstands are a symbol of light. And they are a picture of the church illuminating against a dark background of a sinful world. Have you ever noticed, ladies? Well, is this true, ladies, or should I talk to you guys? Who buys the diamonds in your house? I have to ask because I don't, neither does my wife. But if you were gonna go buy a diamond, have you noticed that when you go to the mall or wherever you do go, they pull out that diamond and they have it against what kind of a background? Black velvet or very dark, dark, dark blue, whatever it is. It's definitely dark. Why? So that the aspect of the diamond's ability to capture light and project it is intensified. So it is with the church. The darker the days get, the more evil and cynical and barbaric and lawless, by the way, the age that a man or a church or a people live in or a nation, the more the church will shine if it's hanging on to Jesus. That's the point. If we're staying close to Christ, we will shine. Our homes, our lives, our churches, our communities will not compromise. Our churches will stand for righteousness and holiness. People are often writing books right now, and people are talking about revival. Oh, when God sends a revival, there's going to be great healings. I don't think so. When God sends a revival, there's going to be new songs sung. I don't think so. When God sends a revival, there's going to be masses gathering to the church by the droves. I don't think so. I believe in our day and age, that which is needed like never before is that if God's going to send a revival, it's going to be a revival of personal holiness in the lives of Christians, where the world no longer has this grip that it has on so many people. The Bible says if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Him and with one another. In 1 John 1, the scripture tells us, verse 5 and 7, this is the message which I've heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light. No wonder why He's there in the midst of the seven lampstands. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in sin, we are liars and we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You and I cannot be living in sin, that is living a known rebellious life against God, Christian or not, by the way, and be living a life asking God to bless and to hear our prayers. The Bible tells us He will not listen to our prayers and He will not lead and guide us because we are walking in sin, walking after self, walking after our own agenda. Walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and as a Christian, Jesus Christ, His blood continually cleanses us from all sin. That's how we're kept in fellowship. In John chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says there, then Jesus spoke unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Darkness is a symbol of sin, but have the light of life. So the seven lampstands represent the local churches of Asia Minor, but because there are seven of them, they represent the Christian church totality throughout the New Testament age, the host of every believer or every church throughout the world. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus then goes on to say, this verse has always, always impressed me and put fear in my heart as well. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Did you know that? That's rather unique. He says, I am the light of the world. And then He turns in Matthew's gospel and says to the church, now you are the light of the world. Do we have a responsibility, church, or what? Man, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is, even the world, they'll see your good conduct and your good works and what you do as a church. By the way, people, listen very quickly. You can take a flame. You can take a burning light and you can move that flame or that light out from out and away from its fellowship. And eventually that light will burn out. Eventually it will be reduced to just an ember. When we get distant from Christ, when we get distant from fellowship. Now look, I know you're here this morning. I'm so grateful you are here this morning. Let me say something. It is imperative that you come to this church or some church that teaches the Word of God for fellowship and for strength for one reason alone, because God has told you in the Bible to do it. Why? For this reason, that together we may burn brighter. Listen, when we were a home fellowship, we could reach out and do certain things. When we moved down the street to the industrial complex and rented, oh my goodness, we rented 1,200 square feet of space. We didn't know how we were going to pay the rent. We didn't even know how we were going to do the tenant improvements. And when we found out that everything was going to be $21,000 for tenant improvements, we didn't have it. And at the end of 30 days, it was paid for. Then we moved across the street. We expanded. And we got a sanctuary that sat 300 people. 300 people. How are we going to get the chairs for that? God provided the chairs. Then we expanded 500. 500 chairs. We built the building and we never thought about getting chairs. And a few of us sat down and prayed, Lord, what are we going to do about chairs? And the very next day, there was a check for $14,000 from the Evangelical Credit Union in Fullerton or Anaheim from an unknown source. And we looked at one another. There were three of us, my wife and myself. I think it might have been Mark Andrews was with me. We looked at one another and look, none of us could afford to do this. God did that. God did that. We came to buy this property, this dirt, and the man was asking a certain price. We couldn't pay that price, so we offered him a lower price. The funny thing was, we couldn't afford the lower price we had offered him. And it was great because we were out there in the parking lot at that time. What are we going to do? I don't know. And now we're in this place now. What are we going to do? It's always been Jesus. It's always been God. He's done it every time. He does it every time. The truth is this. How do those things come about? Fellowship. Maintaining fellowship. Church, we've got to strive at fellowship. At fellowshipping is what we need to do.
Well, the church has gotten so big, I don't know who's who. Well, dive in. Put your goggles on. Go to the edge and dive in.
Find out who's here. I'm meeting with new people. It's so incredibly exciting. And I got to get their names down. I got to know their names. And they're so excited. What can I do? Well, I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, where can I serve? You know what? The flame starts growing brighter because when we were a home fellowship, we could affect the homes that were around us. When we moved into the community, we could affect it a little bit more. Listen, of course the church is getting bigger. Why? What do you think? For our comfort? No, to affect the world more. To the point that my wife looks at me from the table Friday night and she's all teary-eyed and she goes, did you read this? And I said, what? Did you read your mail? Well, not yet. You need to read this. Why? Here's a letter from Africa. This man was listening to a radio program and he talks about a message and the title of a message that totally just changed his life. Okay, praise the Lord, I said. That's good. That's good. You're not getting it, she said. She's got, her eyes are all full of tears. It was the same message broadcast in Africa as it was in the prison here in America. It's the same title. It's the same scripture verses in John's gospel. The message went to Africa and it went to the man in the prison cell. How does that happen? Larger church, larger fellowship, more resources, more people, more vision.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called, Who is Jesus Christ Today? Thanks for joining us today. Who is Jesus Christ Today is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, the Bible has the ability to sustain us through the darkest of times, and that includes Revelation. Just knowing that Jesus is returning and that we will be with him are promises that we can not only count on, but they are promises that keep us going. Our relationship with the Lord is invaluable. And we must not take it for granted or let the days slip away without spending time with Him. Now, Pastor Jack understands the importance of having a devotional time with the Lord, and it's why he has devotions right there at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and then click on that tab labeled Devotions. Now, once you're there, you'll find a weekly verse from the Bible and what that verse means to Pastor Jack. There are also previous devotions you can tap into for daily use, and soon you'll be meditating on Scripture and what that means to you, or just spending quality quiet time with the Lord in His presence. Again, you'll find devotions at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.